Tonight, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Brian, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
Let's talk about what's going on. Sox going to wrap up the series tonight. Need to score 10. Clay Buchholz is on the mound, so we'll need another double-digit scoring night, right?
It's been a weird year for Clay Buchholz. You're right. And, yeah, he's kind of pitching. He has not pitched well, and it seems to be increasingly clear that he's starting to pitch for his job. And that hasn't totally been the case in the past. He's gone through ups and downs before, and usually there's been a pretty good reason for it. And he's been under team control for a while, so that, you know, he gets time to work through it, or he gets, you know, or he winds up in the DL, which may end up happening in this case. But with Eduardo Rodriguez on his way back and everyone else seeming to pitch pretty well, including Joe Kelly his last time out, now this is, you know, each one of these starts that Clay Buchholz makes is starting to look pretty big for him.
Yeah, and their options are somewhat limited. They're not going to just let him go, and at $15 million a year, I can't see them moving him to the bullpen. So do we see some sort of phantom injury if things fall apart early tonight?
I wouldn't totally discount the bullpen thing. I wouldn't give it a high percentage, but I wouldn't give it a 0% either, just because he's only under a contract through this year. They have an option for next year, and it's, you know, especially with Carson Smith going down, they may think that that's the creative solution to a couple of different problems. But this early on, yeah, if he continues to struggle, I think, you know, they put him on the DL with shoulder tightness, which, you know, he's dealt with shoulder stuff throughout his career. And, you know, he's going on 32 years old. His shoulder is clearly not perfectly healthy. Nobody's shoulder is when you've pitched that long. But, yeah, you give him some time away and you see if he can get it figured out.
Well, and if you look at the rest of the rotation, my gosh, everything is pretty solid. Price and Porcello, a combined 14 wins. Wright has been Mr. Consistent. Kelly flirting with a no-hitter last time out. And then if Rodriguez can come back and be anything like he was for most of last season, that's a pretty solid five-man, maybe the best in the East.
Yeah, and Rodriguez is kind of the wild card there. I think, you know, I was really looking at him as the sort of guy who could make a leap into second year and kind of do what John Lester did in 2008. You know, Lester had a pretty good rookie year, and then by the end of 2008 was really the best pitcher the Red Sox had. Not that Rodriguez was going to surpass David Price, but to make that sort of leap. And instead, Rodriguez has had this knee injury that has lingered and lingered. His velocity hasn't been there. He had a good outing last time out in Pawtucket. He's probably going to pitch in Pawtucket again. So it seemed like John Farrell didn't want to rule out the possibility that he could replace Clay Buchholz or somebody else the next time through if they feel like that's what's needed. But there's still a little bit of uneasiness about Rodriguez. It just recovery from the knee injury has not been as smooth as it really should have been, which just makes you a little bit wary, and it'll obviously be something we'll monitor as he gets going.
Speaking of things that we're going to monitor, there are a couple of injury questions that popped up. Last night, Dustin Pedroia coming out of the game in the midpoint, and today, Mookie Betts not in the lineup. There's nothing we don't know, is there?
No, with Mookie Betts, I think it's, he's played in 85 straight games going back to last year. I wouldn't jump to any conclusions about Mookie Betts until he's out of the lineup more than once. With Pedroia, he was amused by it after the game. He didn't think he needed to come out of the game. They're certainly hyper-cautious with him, especially after they basically lost him for 2 months last season with a hamstring injury. He felt some cramping in his hamstring when he grounded out. So basically he stretched it out, and the team trainers told him to take it easy. So when he hit a double his next time up, he took it easy and he jogged into second base. And John Farrell saw him jogging and not moving as well as he normally does, so he took him out of the game. So that almost sounded like a bit of miscommunication and confusion, but they're certainly erring on the side of caution with Pedroia, given how important he is, given his history.
We're talking with Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. No lingering effects of what looked like perhaps a cut on the thumb last night for Xander Bogaerts?
Yeah, he got his fingernail bent back, which is not good, but I would imagine that's not the sort of thing they're worried about, big picture.
Now, Jackie Bradley Jr. keeps on keeping on, 29 straight, and certainly he is now in the spotlight, leads the American League with a .350 batting average, but at least in his post-game comments, seems to be handling that focus well and not worried about the streak, just worried about going out and getting good swings in every night.
Yeah, he's handled it pretty well. I think he's amused by the attention. He's handled the attention pretty well, and I think having a support group of peers that he came up through the minor leagues with is helping him. He's having good at bats, and I think it's helping him that it's a hit streak instead of something like a homer streak. Like, all he has to do is hit the ball hard, couple of times a game, and he keeps the streak going. You know, that's what he's trying to do anyway. He doesn't have to hit home runs. All he has to do is, you know, hit a line drive single left field. That's what he did last night, and that's all they really need from him. That's all they want him to do anyway, and that's all he's been doing. And, you know, he's just showcasing this approach that he's figured out. Seems like he figured out last year in AAA, brought it to the majors, performed pretty well, and then it's been good this year. And he's patient. He's seeing the ball well. His single last night kind of epitomizes what he's been able to do. It's a sinker down and away on the first pitch. And he's not overcomplicating things. He's not taking pitches that are strikes just to take them. He gets a pitch on the outside corner. He didn't try and pull it. He didn't roll it over to second base. The sinker down and away on the first pitch, he figured that's a pretty good pitch. Weaves back on it, lines it to left field, has a base hit. So it's for him, he's keeping it pretty simple, both on the field and in his postgame comments. And I think that's what they'd love to see from him.
Brian, I didn't understand the move originally when Red Sox recalled Blake Swihart to be their almost everyday left fielder, but he's not only acquitted himself well in the field, but the bat that we've always heard about is starting to come around again.
Yeah, two triples last night, and they were not fluky triples. He really launched the ball to center field both times. Good to see. He can hit. I mean, we know he can hit. I don't know if he can hit well enough, you know, to profile as a left fielder per se. I think you'd still really like to see him be a catcher because the bat profiles so well at catcher. I mean, it made sense. With Brock Holt hurt, they needed a left fielder. They preferred a left-handed hitting left fielder to complement Chris Young, especially, you know, if Rusney Castillo was tearing the cover off the ball at AAA, maybe he would have gotten another chance, but he really was not doing that. He's not hitting the ball hard at all. He homered today. It was his first homer of the season. So Swihart was kind of the natural choice because he could play left field and because he offered that left-handed bat. And, you know, that's why you have depth like that. That's why you have homegrown young talent that, you know, you can't, if already starting Brock Holt in left field means you're kind of starting your primary backup already, you've got to have plans B, C, and D, you know, right there in the pipeline. And Swihart's a pretty good plan B.
46 games in, 12 games over 500, best record in the American League. Are they the best team in the American League right now?
It's hard to tell, and I'll be honest, I haven't gotten to see that much. I'm looking forward to seeing them play against Baltimore next week. I don't know much about Seattle. Seattle's a surprise contender. Chicago has been good. Their pitching and defense, you know, has really carried them. It's hard to tell. I mean, they certainly matched up well against Kansas City. You know, Kansas City made a lot of little plays last week. Now, that was the, you know, would-be AL champions against the defending AL champions. And, you know, Kansas City showed why they've won back-to-back AL titles and why the title may still go through Kansas City. You know, in terms of throwing guys out on the bases, caught ceilings, just all the little things that you really do to win titles. Kansas City put that on display in that series. So, you know, the Red Sox have work to do, clearly, but it's obviously a very encouraging start. There's nothing to suggest that this is fluky, what they're doing.